If you want to go fast a day, and there's already an X on there, go ahead and X that day as well. I don't mind you if someone's fasting the same day. That's great as well. And just want to encourage you this week to attempt to start developing this spiritual habit. Amen? Amen. Matthew chapter 6. I'm not assuming that this month of sermons will be on fasting. I'm not making that assumption at all. There is a lot that the Bible says about fasting. There's not much that the church says about it. If you look up Christian books on fasting, you're not going to find many. They're very few and far between. I do want to draw you to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and what He said about the subject of fasting. And I hope that as we look at the words of Christ, we might see exactly what Christ wants from us concerning this area of our life. And so Matthew chapter 6, let's begin reading at verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance. Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for this morning and the opportunity, Lord, to look at your word. And I do ask you, Father, that you would help us by the work of the Holy Spirit to realize this is not just the words of men, the opinion of man. This is what our Savior, our God, our Creator spoke when He was in this world in flesh. And help us, God, to give a proper weight to it. Lord, to see what You said. And then, Lord, to try to conform our life into Your will. We pray, Holy Spirit, that You would give us the desire to do the will of the Father and also the ability to follow through and do His will. We pray you'd work in us mightily. We're so thankful this morning, God, that you hear and answer prayer. And we do ask you, God, that you would begin to help us as your body to be more like you in this area of our life. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do and what you'll do in the future as well because of your word. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. In Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, how many of you know what that section of scripture is called? Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is called the Sermon on the Mount. And I got to be more careful. I think I'm taking some things for granted. I might need to slow down a little bit, be more specific about some of the things that I say. But it is known as the Sermon on the Mount. And it's the first lengthy sermon that we have recorded from our Lord. In fact, this is a great sermon. Even the atheists of the world look at this message that Christ preached and they are impressed by it. They're moved by it. This is where our Lord says that he teaches us not to hate our enemies, but to love them. There's no one in the world like Jesus, and there's no teacher like Jesus. Amen? And when you read his Sermon on the Mount, it's an amazing sermon. It challenges every aspect of our life. In Matthew chapter 6, he deals with three spiritual practices, fundamental practices of the church and of true believers. And he's trying to show us in Matthew chapter 6 how things should be done. They're doing these things in his day, but they're doing it wrong. They're not doing it according to the will of God. They're doing it, but it's misplaced. And so in order to correct that, Jesus will address giving to the poor, which is the word alms. He will address prayer, and he'll also address fasting. And he'll tell us this is what they're doing wrong in their giving. This is how they're erring in their praying. And then he also addresses what's going wrong in their fasting. It's interesting how these three things, giving to the poor, praying, and fasting, we have little trouble with giving. As far as a doctrinal truth, maybe we have a hard time getting the money out and putting it in somebody's hand. But we know it's there. Everybody accepts that. We know we should be generous givers. We know God would have us to give to the poor. We know that's a requirement. We see that. Everybody talks about that. That's a commonly accepted subject that we know well. Whether we obey it or not, that's a different message. And then prayer. How can you talk about the Christian life without including prayer? And it's marvelous what Christ reveals to us about prayer. If I started out this morning with our Father which art in heaven, how would you continue that? Thy kingdom come. Most of y'all memorize. I've memorized that when I was lost as a goat. He said, how did you do that? Because before every football game, we prayed. And that, I don't know why we prayed. I was in a secular school, but we prayed. We huddled up. We would say, our Father which art in heaven. And one time we held up, they said, Tommy, lead us. So I quoted the whole thing because I've been going to football so long, I learned it. The world recognizes that's an amazing prayer. And this comes from our Lord when he teaches us to pray. He says, pray after this manner, or pray in this way. It's a good model for prayer. When you look at your life, match that up. And then he tells us what they're doing wrong in that area as well. And then he moves on to fasting. Yes, fasting is in the scriptures. If you did a simple study of fasting in the scriptures, you may be surprised at how often fasting is mentioned in the scriptures. And as often as it's mentioned in the scripture, there is a promise that comes along with it that God is going to do something in response to your fasting. Anytime you read the subject of fasting, there's always a promise there. Just like there's a promise in prayer, there's always a promise included with fasting that God is going to do something for you. In fact, we saw that in this text even, and we'll look at that a little bit closer later on. So fasting is not something that we just do for health reasons. It's a spiritual exercise. If you want to learn temperance, you might want to include fasting in your effort to grow in temperance. right? Because you said, okay, I'm going to set aside these days, and I'm not going to eat these days. And then when the morning comes around, it's usually time for breakfast, and you say, I'm not eating tomorrow morning. What does your flesh say? Oh, yes, you are eating. Buddy, I don't know who you think you are, but you're not in control. I mean, his flesh does that, right? And so then it helps us to get our body under us to exercise temperance so that the flesh is not controlling us, but that the spirit is controlling us. Amen? So notice in this text, first of all, it's corruption. Look at verse 16. He says, moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites. And then he tells us what these hypocrites are doing. Anything of true value always has fakes or forgeries. Ever notice that? Have you ever heard of fake money? In fact, when you go to the store, if you still use cash and you hand them a $100 bill, what do? First thing they do to it? And they'll mark it and they'll look up at it and they'll run it through a machine and try to make sure it's not a fake. Anything of true value, there's usually someone trying to imitate that or fake that. There's fake gold, fake diamonds. Even according to one of the children that rides on the van with Jenny, there's fake purses. I don't know about that, but they say there are. So also in true spiritual things. You see, what the world does, and they imitate the church, and so then the church kind of gets a little bit confused about it. Well, other religions do this, and secular people do this, and atheists do this, and so it's not really that important if the world does it, and atheists do it, and even cults do it. What does it have to do to apply with my life? Because the more that Satan can muddy the water, the more likely he'll have you and I in disobedience. So no wonder there's many fake activities about fasting, true spiritual fasting. Here, Jesus is very pointed about the hypocrisy of these religious individuals. He says they are corrupt through pretension. Pretension. They're faking. They're pretending. They want people to see them in a certain way. They want people to know I'm fasting. Look at me. And so they put a little dirt on their face. They mess up their hair. They might put on an old jacket that has holes in it. And they go on the side of the street and they're like, oh, what's wrong with you, brother? I'm fasting. I'm fasting. Well, how long have you been fasting? Well, I missed breakfast this morning. I'm telling you, it's rough. And they do that so men would applaud them. Men would recognize them. They're not doing it for the right reason. They're doing it so that men would have a view of them that they're trying to portray that is not really a correct view of them. They give the appearance of pleasing God, but only appearance. Their real desire was to attract the attention of men. We must not fast to please men. We must fast to please God.
Amen.
We must not fast to attract the praise of men, but we must fast to attract the presence of God. We got our goal here is not to lose weight. It's not to get healthy. These things are a benefit of fasting. The goal is, if none of that happened, the goal is God.
Amen.
Brother Bruce has done a lot of study on how healthy it is to fast. And so there are some positive things physically for your body when you do that. But we're not emphasizing that this morning. Jesus is not talking about something positive for your body. He's talking about something that is positive for your soul.
Yes, amen.
And you and I need to get back to doing things that God says this will enhance your spiritual walk. Yes. This will help you get closer to me. This will help you in your walk with God. And so they did it out of pretense, and also they did it out of corruption through their own prize or reward. They have their reward. There was something they wanted, right? And Jesus said they got exactly what they wanted. They didn't want God, so they didn't get God. They wanted the praise of men, and that's what they got. And by the way, I do think if you fast for physical benefits, you'll probably get that, right? Or if you fast because you have a surgery, and they tell you don't eat anything, now if you eat anything, you might die on the operating table. It's probably a good thing to fast for that purpose. And if you do that, then you'll avoid any consequences from that. But we are to fast not because of what we get as far as the world things are concerned, but we're to fast because of what it means in our relationship with God. In Isaiah chapter 58, you find some men there fasting for the wrong reason. Isaiah 58, you're going to read that some other time. They fasted, that is, they abstained from food, but they continued in their evil ways. They continued in their sinfulness. They were not trying to draw near to God. They were trying to use fasting as a way to put God's arm behind his back and say, why didn't you help us? And God said, you can fast all you want to, but if you live in sin, I'm still not going to be able to help you. Read Isaiah 58 if you get a chance. He gives great answers to fasting, even delivering someone who's in bondage to something, if they're fasting for the right reason. But if they're fasting just to try to get God to do something for their favor and they continue in sin, God said that's an evil fast. You may get your reward as far as the world is concerned, but you're not going to get a reward from heaven. Amen? So you and I, when we approach this month of fasting, I hope that our goal will be God. Our goal will be to draw closer to God. How many of you this morning are as close to God as you want to be? I could not raise my hand either. And I want to be closer to Him. And God has given us means and ways that we can draw near to Him. One of those ways is by humbling ourselves through fasting. And then notice Jesus continued. Not only did he talk about the error of their fasting, they disfigure their faces, they appear to men to fast. And Jesus said, because of that, they get only what they wanted, the attention of men, but not the attention of God. That's sad. But then Jesus gives this correction. He says, but thou, when thou fastest, and I want you to notice in this correction, he gives a command. The title of the sermon is Fasting When, Not If. So Jesus is saying, you and I will fast. It's a part of our Christian life. It's not if we will fast, it's when you fast. It should be something that among the saints, the followers of God, is something that is quite common and not something that is unusual and not heard of or not talked about. Jesus said, when, not if. If you take his words seriously, then you'll notice that is a command from our Lord. But you and I are to set aside times of fasting in our life. Fasting is usually goes along with prayer, but fasting simply means going without food or water, sometimes or sleep, for something that you desire from God. Jesus said this when questioned about why his disciples did not fast in Matthew chapter 9. Remember, the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus, and even the disciples of John the Baptist, and they asked the Lord, why is it that his disciples were not fasting? Verse 14 of Matthew chapter 9, then came to him the disciples of John, saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast oft? What is that? They fasted often. But thy disciples fast not. This was Jesus' answer. Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and how many of y'all are there? And then shall they fast. He said, I'm with them now. There's no reason to mourn. They're with me. They're in my presence, physical presence. Why should they desire to get closer to me? They can't get hardly much closer to me than they are now. But when I'm gone, then they will fast. Amen. You see the new church and the church and through the Bible, you'll see them beginning fasting, getting alone with God and spending time with God. So it's a command. It's not a suggestion. Just like Jesus commands us to give alms, he also commands us to pray. Then what would that mean about fasting? It means he also commands us to fast. Amen? How many of y'all would agree with that? Amen. All right. Then not only did he give the command, he also gave us a concern. He said, I want you to anoint your head. I want you to wash your face, that thou appear not unto men to fast. When we fast, he's saying what we need to do it is secretly or privately. You don't need to let others know about it. You don't need to boast of it. You don't need to tell others. That's one of the reasons on the calendar outside, we just have you marking an X. Because the fleshly temptation is to do something like this. Sign your name here and here and here and here. That's the fleshly temptation, right? But if you just put an X up there, nobody knows exactly who the X is. They just know that somebody set aside this time for fasting. And by the way, he did that with giving and even prayer. Remember, in giving, he said, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. In other words, give it so secretly that hardly nobody knows that you've done it. Have you ever had somebody come to you and say, hey, so-and-so, somebody gave me this and they want me to give it to you? Anybody ever had somebody do that? And you don't know who it came from. You don't know who gave it. Have no clue. And that's really the best way to give. Amen? Amen? Because God gets the glory in that. And the giver is rewarded from God for doing it that way. He said, when you pray, enter your closet and pray in secret. That does not exclude public prayer, church prayer. We see church prayer in the Bible. But it means the majority of your praying should be done privately, where nobody knows the time that you spend alone with God. And he said, if you do that, I will reward you openly. And then he also concluded in this verse about fasting. He said, fasting is to be private as well. I'll only make one exception on that. That exception is if you're married, you have to share that with your one partner, your spouse, right? It's hard to keep fasting from Brenda. You know why? Because she's always coming to me, what you want for lunch? What you want for supper? What you want is a snack. Now, she's really helpful to me. So if I'm going to set aside any time of fasting, she has to be included. And that's still right. As we saw this morning in our Sunday school class, the couple is talking about a time of fasting, consenting together. So that's still keeping it, just like Christ instructed you to do. You're keeping it private. Jesus was concerned about us falling in the trap of the Pharisees with our nose going up in the sky, and we say, I fast more often than anybody else. That was the concern of our Lord Jesus Christ, is that we would not approach fasting just so that we'd have the praise of men, but we'd approach fasting because we want the presence of God in our life. And then notice what Jesus taught us about the concentration. Who is it that we're fasting two or four? What's the purpose of it? Jesus mentioned this in verse 18 as well, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which seeth, and thy Father shall see it. Again, there's many reasons that people recommend fasting. I saw a couple on a video, two men, they weren't a couple, but they set aside 40 days of fasting because they had back pain issues. And they thought, if I endure this time of fasting, it'll help heal my body, it'll help heal my back some. And they reported that it was a benefit to their body. Others do this just for the sake of their body. And there are quite a few folks in the world today who will set aside fasting time just to purify their body, get the junk out of their body. They do it to benefit their body. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Bruce taught us on Sunday night that we're to care for this body. We're to try to get this body, treat it the exact way that we think that the Lord would have us to treat it, because it's the Lord's, it's not ours. Right. So if there's something that benefits your body, that's a good thing for you to practice. Amen. But our goal is not the benefit of our body. Our goal, I hope our goal this month, will be that the Father would see. Now, I know he sees all things and he knows all things. But in this text, he says, when you fast privately, I'll take notice of that. I'll pay attention to that. Now, that'll move me. It'll move my heart. I will respond to you spending some time fasting about something. So our desire is the presence of God. We must be looking to God. We must be pleading with God. We must have God's favor and help. One of the things that we're doing this month is we're trying to focus on our lost loved ones coming to Christ. There's a lot of things that you might could fast for. I encourage people that are struggling with a sin and they find that sin hard to overcome. This is some of the counsel that I get. It tears them down. I challenge them to read over Romans chapter 6, meditate on that, and maybe memorize it. Romans chapter 6. But also challenge them to set aside some time, days of fasting specifically that God would deliver them from that strong desire to sin. And some of us, as followers of Christ, we live with these strong desires to sin, and we never deal with them through fasting and prayer. We never say, God, I have got to have an answer to this. I don't even care if I eat again. This can't keep happening in my life. I have to have your help. Some of us have been praying for lost loved ones for quite some time. And God is at work. How do you know, preacher, God's at work in my lost loved one that I'm praying for? Because it's God's will that they get saved. And you're praying in God's will, so I know God's answering your prayers. I mean, say amen to that.
Amen, amen.
There's no doubt about it that when you're praying for your lost loved one, that the Spirit of God is exercising their heart and bringing about conviction and troubling them and drawing them. So keep up praying, keep praying. But I want to suggest to you, why don't we add to that prayer a time of fasting specifically that God and prayer that God would open up their heart that you might see them saved soon. We've had some tragedies recently as far as the airplanes. Some of you saw the young people that were on skating teams. Almost home, right? I mean, everything's over. They're flying in. They think they're safe. And all of a sudden, if I have the number right, I think it was 64 people.
67
total. So the helicopter was included, that died in that tragedy. Let me tell you something. There was a lot of young people on there. And I want you to know something. Young people die. And just because you have a lost loved one and they're young, there is no guarantee that they're not going to leave this world soon and face eternity without Jesus Christ. I know you're praying. I know you're pleading with God that God would open up their heart, that they would be saved. But could this be one of those this kinds? Matthew chapter 17, you know what I'm talking about? This kind? Matthew chapter 17, they brought a man, a father brought a son to the disciples that was demon-possessed. And he said, cast out the demons. And the disciples of Jesus tried to do that. Jesus up on the Mount of Transfiguration. And then he comes down and the father said, I brought my son to your disciples. They cast out this demon and they could not. And Jesus looks at that little boy and he said, cast out the demon. The boy falls down, looks like he just died. He didn't. He passed out and comes back up. The disciples later on said, Lord, why couldn't we do that? You gave us power to cast out demons. We've cast out demons before. We've prayed for lost loved ones before and we've seen them saved. Why could we not in this case do that? And Jesus said to them, remember this, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and
fasting.
And maybe some of you are facing a this kind case. Where you need to push away from the table, abstain from food, and say, God, listen, you've got to do something. I've been praying and praying and praying about this. And God, please, I have to have an answer. I've got to see you move. I know that you're at work, but please, God, rescue my perishing loved one from hell. Save them. This kind goeth not up but by prayer and fasting.
Amen.
That's the correct way to do it. Be concentrated. Direct your prayer to God. Focus on the face of God. Your goal should be God, not health, not the body, but getting the ear of God. And that's what Jesus is encouraging us to do here in Matthew chapter 6. Then finally, notice this morning, it's compensation. Why should I fast and pray? Will God do anything if I fast and pray? Is there a guarantee in His Word that if I set aside the table, push back, and pray, and abstain from eating, is there a guarantee in that text, Brother Tommy, that God will do something? Notice at the end of the text, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall, what? Reward thee openly. I believe that's an answer, don't you? That same word, Greek word, I'm not going to try to pronounce it. You can try to pronounce it if you want to. I have a hard time with English words. It's found in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12. This is interesting to me. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give. That's the word we're looking at, reward. Not the other reward, but to give every man according to his works. What is the word he uses in Revelation 22:12 for reward? It's the word give. Look at it in 2 Timothy 4:8. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall, here's our word again, give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. I would submit to you, if you study out that word and look at where it's used in different, it's used as the word render. What does it mean to render? It means to give. If you look at where that word is used and how it's used, reward really has behind it the promise of God giving you something that you've been praying and fasting for. I challenge you, if you would, to look up the scriptures and see whether or not that's so. The compensation is an answer to our prayer. We see highlighted all throughout the Bible, fasting, correct fasting, that is fasting secretly and privately, fasting, focusing on God, trying to get an answer from God, is always rewarded. Always. Look at, you don't have to turn there, but remember in the book Nineveh, in the book of Jonah. Nineveh, what kind of city was Nineveh? It was very wicked. Extremely wicked. It was so wicked that the prophet hoped that God would wipe them all out. He didn't want to go there and preach because he didn't want any of them spared. They were so violent, so vile, that he said, I don't want to go there. I don't want them to repent. They should die in their sins. And God still sent him. Remember the fish? I believe all that, by the way. Spit him out. Jonah goes in there. Said, you're going to die. It's over. And the king believed it. And everybody else did. Y'all remember quickly?
Yes.
And in Jonah chapter 3, what the king do? He said, we're all going to fast. Put off your garments. Put on sackcloth. And sit in ashes. God may see us and hear us and spare us. And not only did all the people of the land do that, even all the animals were not allowed to eat. What do you think God did? Chapter 3 of the book of Jonah. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented or changed his mind of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. Judgment's coming. God's going to wipe you out 40 days, and that's it. And they repented and fasted and humbled themselves, and God said, I'm not going to do it. One of the most wicked kings in your Bible is King Ahab. Remember how evil Ahab was? Ahab promoted the false worship of Baal. In 1 Kings chapter 21, he was warned by the prophet. In verse 27, it says this, "And it came to pass when Ahab heard these words, judgment's coming, you're going to be punished for your sins, there's no way to escape it. This is what Ahab did when he heard it, that he rent his clothes, ripped them in two, put on sackcloth upon his flesh." Guess what the next two words are? "And fasted. And lay in sackcloth. And went softly." I mean, he was being very careful by every step he took. He knew judgment was coming and he was so afraid. And he's fasting and he's praying, "God, spare me." How did God respond to wicked, wicked Ahab when Ahab fasted? Look at verse 29. "Seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days." Now, this is a man who had a man murdered just because he wanted his vineyard. This is a man who promoted Baal worship. And yet, when he heard the judgment of God, he said, "Oh no!" And he fasted before God and he turned from his evil. And God said, "I'm not going to send judgment in your day." I plead with you, look throughout the Bible and see how God responds to fasting. We may not fully understand why it is that God responds to fasting. I do believe there's some specific reasons. I do believe there are. And we might share them with you. But you may not know why. You may not ever be able to understand why fasting and prayer. Isn't prayer enough? I'm telling you, you don't have to fully understand it. But when you look at the Bible and you see how God works through that, how can we ignore that? I got good news for you this morning. If you're here lost, you don't have to spend any days in fasting and prayer to be saved. How many of y'all know that's true? Amen. You can bend your knee, or you don't just humble yourself right where you're at, bow your head, close your eyes, say, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I deserve to spend eternity in hell, but I'm glad Jesus died to save me. And I want Jesus to save me. Amen. Jesus, please save me." You call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. Amen. You don't have to fast and pray about salvation, but there's some other things that you might consider praying and fasting over. And I just want to challenge you to pray and fast over your lost loved ones. You know what my desire is as a pastor? And it depends on our participation. It depends on whether or not we're going to set aside time to fasting. If we're going to try to call out to God at church. Will we attempt to prove God? It all depends on that. I believe if we did, we'd see some people get saved. I believe with all my heart. God delights in proving himself to be strong. I think if we all really sought the face of God, spent some time in fasting and prayer, we would all see God do some mighty things. How many of y'all do that?
Amen.
Well, it's up to us. "My people which are called by name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways." God said, "I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal their land." What's one of the ways we humble ourselves before God? What is one of the ways we humble ourselves before God? By fasting. Amen?
Amen.
I just want to challenge you. Remember, it's not if you fast, it's when. So start including some spiritual exercise of fasting in your life. And see what Jesus Christ, our Lord, will do. Amen? Is there an issue you're facing in your life? Is there a sin that you can't overcome? Why don't you bring that to the Lord in prayer and fasting? Is there a financial situation you don't know what to do? Why don't you take that to the Lord in prayer and fasting? Is there a health issue that you're facing? It might be good for you, healthy, to abstain from food, but what about praying and fasting about it?
Isn't that even better?
Amen. Yes, absolutely.
You think God still heals?
Yes.
Got lost loved ones? I was saved because people prayed for me that I would be saved. That's the reason I'm here today. Two men prayed for me that I would come to faith in Christ. And the Holy Ghost of God started wearing me out. And that's why I'm saved. And God will do the same thing on your loved ones if we get serious about it. Amen?
Amen.
So let's test the Lord or prove the Lord by being obedient to Him. Amen? Let's stand for prayer. Father, Lord, only You can really move on our hearts to realize what You'd have us to do. Or we can try to